The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We are one day away from the NFL draft because it is indeed Wednesday, April 22nd. Man, are we excited for everything that is coming down the pipe in terms of draft coverage. We hope you're enjoying what we're doing here on the Pick Six Podcast. I would encourage you to check the feed out. Coming up soon is an interview with Scott Pioli, former Patriots GM, as well as Chiefs GM, five-time executive of the year, currently in the feed. And by the way, this is going to be a heavy gambling pod. This is all gambling. This is the prop bet pod, prop bet proptacular. So if you want to win some cash in the NFL draft, Kenny White and RJ White, cousin Kenny and Uncle RJ, or Uncle Kenny and cousin RJ, are going to help us win. We'll have a final draft preview and a mailbag coming up on Thursday on the podcast. A bunch of prospect interviews coming up later on the day in Wednesday. Christian Fulton, Ezra Cleveland, Isaiah Simmons, a bunch of guys, good prospects. And then we'll have reactions after every night of the show. So make sure and check that out. We also have bold predictions in the feed, tons of content. And if you love the podcast and you want to support us, the Super Friends will be doing an hour of pregame leading up to the draft. So check that out on CBS Sports HQ, our 24/7 streaming sports network, available on all your CBS Sports apps. Okay. Kenny, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. You're so well prepared, Will. I love it. You got everything going on and stacked up. You know, it's amazing that, even with the casinos closed, I will tell you this. Some of the operations that have apps out and players playing will do 10 times as much handle as they did last year.
Wow.
Even with the casinos closing, you can't open up an account, but you can fund your existing account and bet with your existing account 10 times as much handle this year. Can you imagine how much handle there'd be if the casinos were open, I guess?
Do you think that's a product of nothing else being, like, nothing else is on? So everybody's only betting on the draft. So, right? I mean, like if the casinos were open, in theory, there would be other sports going on, right? So
yeah, we've done 5 weeks of mock drafts on CBS. Do you think we would have done five weeks of drafts if the NBA and NHL were playing? I don't know. I don't think so. I've done more work in the NFL draft in this year than my entire life combined.
Wow. RJ White, our senior draft editor. I don't know if that's your title, but it's close enough. You are a senior editor. Are you excited for this draft?
I am. I'm glad it's almost here. You know, it's always fun season for us. Love doing mock drafts. Love all the speculation. Love trying to figure out what's smokescreen and what's real. So, it's always sad to put it to bed every year, but by the time we get through it, you're kind of ready to, because it's just exhausting getting through that weekend.
It is. We are going to give out props based on what from our partner, our good friends at Billy Hill, William Hill US. You can go to williamhill.com. You can bet on it in certain states. As Kenny points out, you probably can't start an account right now, but, you know, if you have, feel free to tweet us if you have other props you're looking at from other providers and you want us to answer them. Is it at K Whitey in Vegas? Is that right?
K Whitey Vegas
and at RJ White One. All right, Kenny, we're going to go around the horn. We're going to do this, in the fashion of the Cover 3 podcast. Our good friends Chip Patterson and Tom Fornelli and Barton Simmons go around the horn and they give locks. If you agree with one that I say or RJ say, you know, jump in on it. If you disagree with that prop, you can fire back at it, but, we'll each do our locks and we're going to do a couple turns, a couple wheels around the, I don't know what I'm talking about. A couple turns around the bases or whatever it is. Kenny, you're up first. Your best
I'm
props.
I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
You want me to start with my best ones first or just, Just start firing a couple away. Fire one away right now.
You pretend like you're going to give out five or six. And yeah. So make sure you get your best five or six out there.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. All right. Well, quarterback play, you know, a lot to talk about. In this draft, I like under and over bets because, again, most are shaded a little too low. There's always going to be a player, Rashad Penny, drafted that nobody knew about that throws the complete draft off and everybody gets bumped two or three slots. And I think that happens. But there's one quarterback that I think really has dropped his stock, Jake Fromm. I'm over 68.5 on him. That takes him to the middle of the third round, I think, is where he's going to be drafted, maybe the fourth round. Small hands, doesn't have the size to be an NFL quarterback. I think this one is an easy lock with Jake Fromm over.
RJ, any thoughts on Mr. Fromm? I know that Dan Orlovsky told us he thinks the Saints could make a play for him. But even then, it would be surprising in the third round, I think.
Yeah, and if the Saints take him, that's late third round because they don't have a second round pick. So you're still hitting the over there. I like that pick. It wasn't one of mine, but yeah, I could definitely see the over there. The thing with Fromm, though, is that it seems like quarterback coaches love him, you know, love his intelligence, love what he adds to the locker room. So if you're not necessarily looking for like a guy that's going to come in and lead your franchise, maybe you take that pick late, you know, late round two, early round three as a guy who's going to solidify that number two spot on your quarterback depth chart. But I think that would be high. I think Kenny spot on. I think in my seven round mock, I had Fromm somewhere around the 110s, you know, a mid fourth round pick. And, yeah, that should cash pretty easy.
All right. Yeah. I agree. You gotta love it. That's a good one. RJ, you're up.
Yeah. So my favorite one's probably CJ Henderson going under 12.5 as his draft position. It's plus 100 now back when I was giving it out. Actually, the first when I was giving it back out, my first edition of the top 10 draft props at sportsline.com had the draft position at 17.5 and I like the under there. It's dropped five spots. It was at plus 150 as of Monday when I gave a revised, you know, edition of my column saying get the plus 150, great value. Now it's down to plus 100. So it seems like everybody knows that this guy is going in the top 12 picks. We expect him to go in the top 10, whether it's a team like Jacksonville taking him, Arizona taking him, whether it's the Falcons trading up because they want to be super aggressive. I think it's clear he's the top number two cornerback on the board. He's going to be in the top 10, and I think that's a pretty easy one for us.
Well, you know what we have, I don't know if it's lock you, Kenny, what do you think about that pick?
I love it. You know, there's probably, he has taken the most money of any individual player. And because of the number open 17.5 was bet down to 15.5. It is now down to 12.5 and you got to lay $2 to go under 12.5. I have CJ Henderson ranked my number two corner in the draft behind Jeff Okuda. And the difference is very minuscule. I would take CJ Henderson. If I had to pick between the two, I might flip a coin. I think CJ Henderson is as good as Jeff Okuda.
All right. So you said it's, are you, where are you seeing the minus 200 for the under 12.5?
Our friends at William Hill.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it as plus 100 early Tuesday to get under 12.5.
Yeah.
So maybe that value's out there when people are hearing this. On Wednesday, perhaps it's going to keep steaming.
And by the way, when we say over under on draft picks, it can get a little convoluted. The under means he will go 1 through 12, and the over means 13 or later.
Correct. And there is a possibility. I'm looking at the odds that they offer for the New Jersey site because that's where I can see them.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny's probably looking at the Vegas odds. There's going to be some discrepancy there because people are betting in those different markets. So if Kenny says minus 200 and I say plus 100, we're probably looking at different states and different markets.
That's okay. That's probably right. Well, but that's actually helpful. And like, that should tell you that if you can get the plus 100, you should hammer it right now because it's going to move to minus 200. And I agree. That was one of the locks that I had written down on my list as well. I think CJ Henderson goes in the top 10. I think there's a clear need for cornerbacks from multiple teams up there, whether it's the Jaguars. I think the Panthers could take him at number 7. You know, it's not crazy that the Lions, trade down and then take him if Jeff Okuda goes to the Giants. I mean, I think there's a lot of spots where CJ Henderson can go and, there's going to be a lot of push for cornerbacks here.
I'm gonna make a correction on it that the site I was looking at had him at 13.5. To go under 13.5, you gotta lay $2. But you're right, at William Hill, under 12.5, even money right now. So I think that's going to move. I think that's going to be, you're going to be laying a price under 12 and a half, but that's one of the bigger movers, 17 and a half down to 12 and a half.
Does it bother you that you're getting a theoretical bad number here? Or do you still think it's a good enough number where you take it?
Not when you feel like you got the right side. RJ, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I would be interested to hear what Kenny thinks about which one of those options he would like, whether it's if you're going under on let's say you're just going under on each of those. Would you take the 13.5 minus 200 or the 12.5 plus 100? Because the 49ers are a pretty key team there, the team that is sitting at 13. We expect they could trade down, but they're definitely a team with a cornerback needs. So I wonder whether you would rather have that 13 in your pocket.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the 49ers, and I have cornerback the fourth biggest need for the 49ers. I don't think so. I wouldn't mind going under 12 and a half even. We know the Raiders are talking wide receiver, but their second biggest need is a corner. So
yeah,
it wouldn't shock me if the Raiders went off the board and drafted Henderson.
Yeah, everybody thinks the Raiders would take CeeDee Lamb, and that's entirely possible, or even Jerry Jeudy. But if they look at the board and all three of the first top wide receivers are on there, and C.J. Henderson is also there, they could definitely go C.J. Henderson and then try and trade back up from whatever their, what is their other pick, 19? Is that right? Yeah. 12 and 19? I mean, like, you could easily get back up and get one of those wide receivers. So I don't think that would be shocking at all. I think you'll see Mike Mayock and John Gruden, unless they trade up to get C.D. Lamb or somebody, I think you'll see them let the board come to them. All right, Kenny, your next prop bet.
What about you, Will?
Oh, yeah, mine was C.J. Henderson.
Oh, so okay. You're doubling up with me.
Yeah, I was going to move C.J. Henderson around, but I was like, I might as well lock it down. Yeah. Mine are pre-written into this document. I'm adding yours. I was thrilled that you had it in there as well.
Well, I'm going to go with another over, and it's another later round pick, and that's another quarterback, Jacob Eason, over 53.5. And I was so glad to hear RJ when I talked about Fromm at over 68.5. RJ had him at 110. Well, remember, Jacob Eason had to leave Georgia because Jake Fromm beat him out. So I don't know why you want Jacob Eason. He's got NFL size compared to Fromm, so it's completely different. But I'm thinking about skill sets at a quarterback. If Fromm beat out Eason, why would you be taking Eason at the 53rd pick in that round? I've got Eason going before Fromm, but I've got him going in the third round. I went over 53.5. I'd like to hear what you guys think about Jacob Eason.
Yeah, I would agree with the over there. The trouble there, like you were saying, is that he's a lot more projectable to the NFL level. So you could see coaches falling in love with those traits in a way that they wouldn't. There's going to be some teams that just scratch Fromm off the board with his hand size and with, you know, everything that comes with it. But Eason is a guy you could see being your starting quarterback at the next level. So you could see somebody falling in love in the round two range with him and going to get him. The thing that's key with him is I think a lot of people are connecting him with the Patriots as a possible Patriots selection if they don't go quarterback in round one. Now, no, they don't have a round two pick. So if they're going to get up and get over somebody, they're going to have to trade up over this 53.5. And maybe we see that happen. But I don't know. I think the talent is good enough that he's going to get pushed out of the round two. And I like your pick there.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. I think it's a very good choice. Eason, you know what? I think it was me and Danny Cannell talking about it. But like, if you could combine Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason, like take Jake Fromm's brain and drop it in Jacob Eason's body, that's a top five pick. Or, you know what I mean? Or like, and it, you know, unfortunately you can't do that, not legally anyway. And, and as a result, both these guys are probably going to drop. I think too, one of the things about this second round, when you look at the guy, like there are going to be a ton of wide receivers and cornerbacks coming off the board in the second round. And I think it could be half the second round, and that's just going to push some of these second tier quarterbacks down a little bit further. So I like it as well. RJ, do you want me to give my next one so you don't think I'm stealing from you, or are you comfortable going ahead?
You can go first. I just like that you're writing the Hollywood script now that you're going to send out to all the producers out there that combines the movies Draft Day and Get Out. It's amazing.
Ooh, I like it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the, first offensive lineman taken. I'm going to go Andrew Thomas at 5-1. I don't think he's the top, lineman on everybody's board, but I think there is a whole lot of Val doth protest too much coming out of the New York Football Giants. first they were like, oh yeah, like, oh, we're so open to trading down. God, we just can't wait to trade down. And then they leak out that they're like, they really like Justin Herbert and they've been working him out. What are we doing here? Nobody, the Giants are taking Justin Herbert. Dave Gettleman will be, he'll have his pants pulled up over his head and shot into the sun if he takes Justin Herbert a year after taking Daniel Jones 6 overall. I think what they're going to do is they're going to stand pat and they're going to take a lineman because they know they need to block for Saquon, as he said, and they got to protect Daniel Jones. And the most, the safest guy right now with the Mekhi Becton, weed thing happening to me is Andrew Thomas. And I think Dave Gettleman wants a safe pick who will improve the offense. And Andrew Thomas does that from day one. I could see him going 4th overall, 5-1, good value for me.
Yeah, I kind of like the value there, out of the options. Mekhi Becton came off the board with that flag drug test news. And so you can only get those top three. And then you're looking at the outside shots. He's back on the board now.
Yeah, 10-1. Yeah.
10-1. So, I mean, that's kind of good value too. It's not, you know, I think Thomas is probably a little bit safer pick there. But I think it's going to be Wills for the Giants. You know, we talked about on the Pick Six Pod, mock draft show, that there's the connection there with Joe Judge in Alabama. I think you kind of lean back on those relationships at this point. You kind of make that as the default since you can't do all the pre-draft work that you normally could. So Wills is the favorite here at -130. I think he's going to be the pick, but there's not great value in it. So I don't mind Thomas as a value play at 5-1.
Yeah. And look, go ahead. Yeah.
That's okay. You know, some great offensive linemen. I like Tristan Wirfs, in his workouts, the numbers that he came with. And coming from Iowa, Kirk Ferentz is the best offensive line coach in college football. He is the best teacher of fundamentals. When you get a guy that's this athletic of a freak with those fundamentals, Wirfs is the best buy. But you know what? Andrew Thomas, 41 starts in the SEC, the NFL minor leagues. He is the guy that is the most ready to face NFL pass rushers and to be able to grind out yardage for the ground game for the Giants. I see Thomas at that position very likely because of that one thing, the experience exactly. that he has at that level. And he's got all the numbers. He's got the size, the strength, the speed. He fits right there. So, but I like Wirfs better. But I could see Thomas going with the 4th pick to the Giants.
It is almost completely as a result of Becton coming off. Dave Gettleman has been basically told, and he said it, if he doesn't make the playoffs, he's getting fired. The only way to make the playoffs is if you, like, this draft pick, this number 4 overall pick is so key for him in that it has to be somebody who improves them tangibly this year for him to save his job. And I think you can't go with Becton because all of a sudden if he's struggling, it's like the New York Daily Post is I was coming up with some crazy pun involving weed and Mekhi Becton. And it's like a picture of him, like Daniel Jones getting sacked. So instead you go with Thomas, who gives you a very high floor. RJ. Yes.
It would be giant question mark. That's the headline. I'm going to put that out there.
There you go.
I'm going to jump on the Tua Tagovailoa grenade here. Team to draft Tua, Miami at +125. Over the whole process, they were minus odds. They were presumptive favorite. It's been dropping and dropping. Now it's down to +125. I mean, I think they're still the favorites.
It's +125, right?
+125.
That's ridiculous.
And they're still the favorites. I think the Chargers might be +130, +140. But I mean, this is a lot of value emerging on what could be a smokescreen situation with all this negative buzz. Interested teams are floating that negative information out in the hopes that they can get him to fall to them. Or maybe the Dolphins don't have to pay much in a trade up. I think all these mock drafts that we're coming out with this week, we just have them sitting at 5 and taking Tua, the ones that like him because they don't expect to trade up anymore. And I think even if you do want to consider a trade up, Dolphins are the ones that have all that capital. In our mock draft, we had, you know, them flipping with the Giants to get to 4 and get Tua. So I don't know who's going to come up and get Tua if it's not Miami. When you're talking about a trade, I think we're getting good value here. I would put his odds at going to Miami at better than 50% right now.
Yeah, you know, that whenever you got a 50-50 bet and you're taking a price, you've got great value. You're going to make a lot of money in the long run making bets like that because you're right. I think it's the Dolphins or the Chargers. So I'm on board with that. That's one of the plays that I actually are going to talk about later today on CBS. Would be interesting. The one thing I'm, you know, seen and heard and talked about with the Lions having the 3rd pick and being so close to the Patriots camp, you know, if they made a blockbuster trade with the Patriots and the Patriots could trade up to number 3 to get Tua Tagovailoa as their quarterback for the future, that would be quite amazing. That would really throw the NFL into a whirlwind. Everyone can't wait for the non-Patriot fans. Well, that's probably 31 out of the 32, you know, percent of the fans in the country hate the Patriots and would love to see them fall.
Well, worth noting, Kenny, so on the pod on Monday, we did a mock draft and we started talking about how RJ actually came up with a scenario where the Patriots trade to 10, they give Joe Tooney to the Browns, for the swap, you know, use 10 and 23 for, or excuse me, 23 and Tooney for 10. And then you jump from 10 to 3 and grab Tua there and snake the Dolphins. And like, I know that a lot of these draft props are based on rumors and buzz and all that sort of stuff, but like the Patriots are 15 to 1 here to take Tua. I mean, that's a pretty low price considering that they're at number 23.
And it opened up 30 to 1. It was 30 to 1, down to 20, down to 15.
And especially if he keeps sinking with this, if you do buy in and you don't say it's a smokescreen, the further he falls, the easier it is for them to trade up and get him without having to give up as much as we talked about on the pod. In addition to Tooney getting to 10, then they would be giving up their future first round pick and then one of their third rounders to get to 3 or 4. So, if they don't have to give up that much of a price, you know, you could see it be, if he gets to 8 or 9, you could see it even being easier for the Patriots to get up. So I don't mind that either. You know, Belichick has a relationship with Saban. They're close. He would be more confident, I think, in Tua's prognosis than anyone else if Saban is giving him the green light.
The other Tua prop that I saw here on WilliamHill.com, Tua over under, the over is now, so it's now, it's 3.5 still. The over is minus 360 and the under is plus 280. I don't hate the under because I think there is still a chance that the Dolphins will trade up to, probably not 2, but maybe to 3. Like if you're the Lions, why would you not take the deal? Like you're going to get Okuda or Simmons. Either way, if the Dolphins offer you the 39th pick to switch to number 3, just do, I know it's terrible value, but just take, to be like, give us your best offer and we'll go from 3 to 5, unless you're like lying in wait for the Patriots. This would of course bring the Patriots, you know, scenario into play. I don't hate that under it at 3.5. And I had Tua to the Dolphins as one of my locks as well. So, on the same page here, RJ.
I like that you read my SportsCenter article and you're just taking all my locks.
I actually haven't read it, but people should go read your articles at SportsCenter, and you've used promo code WHITE, which maybe, do we know that it's definitely not giving Kenny the,
I think he has a different promo code.
K White, Uncle Kenny. Use promo code Uncle Kit. No, I'm just kidding. Use promo code White and, you can get your, first month for $1. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll keep ripping through these props.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top 5 leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Kenny, you're back on the board. Give us another prop to check out.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Justin Herbert. We're talking about quarterbacks over the 5.5. There's been a lot of money on him on the under, and I'm banking on the Dolphins grabbing Tua Tagovailoa. The Chargers would be number 6 and grabbing Justin Herbert. I don't know why people are going under 5.5. I just don't see it. So I think that's the value play, is to go Herbert over 5.5.
I agree with that. There's so much buzz that's built up that Tua is going to drop and Herbert's going to be the guy that that benefits from it. And I just don't know. I don't think the Dolphins take him at five. Even if the Dolphins aren't sold on Tua, I don't think they take Herbert at five. I think they pivot, go with a left tackle at five, and then maybe look at a quarterback at 18 or 26, getting Herbert or Love, one of those guys, or even trading up if they want to do that, to get into the teens, you know, and pick one there. So yeah, I don't see Herbert as a top five pick. It would surprise me. And the fact that the price has dropped, I think you got to get in on it.
It's also ridiculous that the over under is 5.5, and the over is plus money when like a lot of people have been pegging the Chargers to take him at six. Like, so, I mean, you even like, I don't think Justin Herbert's good, and I might be dead ass wrong on this, and I could end up looking like an idiot, and I'm fine with that. It happens. Pete Prisco once said, I've watched the tape, and I'm telling you, Christian Ponder is better than Cam Newton, but that's just me. That tweet has not aged well. I look forward to retweeting it on Thursday. It's from like 2011, obviously, but it's still fun to retweet. I just don't see it with Herbert, and I don't think the Dolphins do either. And I don't think most people do. And I think that, like, if you look at the timing of it, there's a stretch of 2 days when all the Miami media started saying the Dolphins on Herbert. And then over the 2 days after that, all the national media started saying that the Dolphins are on Herbert. It looks very calculated and very planned with either the Dolphins have the loosest lips that are going to sink the ship of all time, or they planned out this smokescreen to try and drive down Tua's price. And I just think it's the latter. And so look, I mean, that's probably going to flip my draft day bets, however this goes with Herbert or Tua, but I'm willing to take that chance.
And then look at the rest of the board, you know, compare props. You go to the third quarterback drafted prop and you got Justin Herbert at -140, Tua at +115, Jordan Love at +700. I mean, how do those two things square? The only way they could is if somebody's trading up to get Tua and, you know, at 3 or 4, and then, you know, Miami takes Justin Herbert at 5. That's the only scenario, but that seems unlikely at this point. We haven't seen a trade go down. Washington would have traded that pick already if it was going to happen. So maybe there's a surprise in on Thursday night and we get a trade at 3, 2 or 3. But I don't see how both those props happen. It just seems weird to have the odds of where they are.
Hey, by the way, look, I will say something too. Here's the interesting thing about these prop bets is that they hang out there and they have lower limits. They are the only major sport bets that are out there. But on Thursday, you know, you listen to this on Wednesday. If on Thursday the Dolphins make a trade for the Redskins, sprint to your book and hammer the under for Tua. Hammer. I mean, right? Like you can get advantage because these lines won't move that fast in certain spots.
If they don't take it off the board, I mean, they could easily, sure, you know, suspend the betting and then figure out where they want to put the line and it comes back up.
Well, I'm saying like, so, but the draft is weird because it's different because it's all rumors and innuendo. Like you get this buzz leading up to the thing actually happening. Like on, 2 years ago when Baker went one overall, there was all this, like, you woke up on Thursday morning, it was like Schefter and Rappaport were like, okay, Baker's going first. Like, you know, you could tell like somebody had leaked it and Baker was going first. And Baker was like 8-1 to go first overall or 5-1. And I mean, we got, you know, me and some friends got in on that and that was a big win. RJ, I'll let you go next because there's no chance you're taking my prop.
Yeah, mine are a little bit more general for the first round from here on out. Number three for me is total round one cornerbacks. Ooh. The line is at 4.5, and I got over 4.5 at -138. You know, you got to pay a little juice to get the over there, but I think very good chance it hits. Okuda and Henderson are going to be in the top 10. It looks like there's at least six other corners I could see landing in the first round. AJ Terrell has picked up buzz. He might be headed for the teens now.
Yep.
And then you got Jalen Johnson. His medicals have checked out. He could be a first round pick where a lot of people wouldn't have thought that. And then you throw in Jeff Gladney, Christian Fulton, Trevon Diggs, just all these names. I wouldn't even be shocked if there's a few others that are in consideration, and the needs match the talent there. Because when you start looking at the back half of the first round, the guys that don't get Henderson or Okuda, you're talking about, you know, Falcons if they don't trade up, Cowboys, Raiders, Jaguars, Vikings have two picks. We know they're going to use that.
49ers, Chiefs. I mean, there's a ton of teams.
Saints, Seahawks. I mean, any Titans, you know. So I think the need matches the available talent here. I would be shocked if we don't get to six, you know, probably maybe even seven. So -138, I'm willing to pay that to get over 4.5.
I like it.
Absolutely love it. That was going to be the next one I talked about because yes, in my mock draft, I have seven core. I couldn't believe this number was 4.5 because you know what? I said, well, if there's not going to be seven, I love Jalen Johnson for Utah. I have him the third best corner in the draft. I think he's better than Gladney, Fulton, and Terrell. But those guys are right there. So I thought 4.5. How can it be 4.5? All right, let me do this a little bit more conservatively and went through the draft. The minimum I see is 5. 5 is the minimum in the first round.
Same here.
Yeah, absolutely love that one.
I wanted to look and see. The other thing too, I was going to say, I agree. I think it's a great pick. When you look at the cornerbacks, you didn't mention Noah Igbinoghene.
No, I missed him. I have a long list of players wanted to get through and I missed that one.
No, it's fine. But like, I mean, I was just saying, like, that's another guy who could creep in there too. I don't think Bryce Hall will, but I really like Bryce Hall as a player. The difference at wide receiver and cornerback after you get through the first like 6 guys, cornerback drops off and wide receiver just keeps running and is just deep as hell. And so I think while we could see like, you know, Denzel Mims and all these different wide receivers jump up into the first round as well, I think teams will be more like Laviska Shenault, Jalen Reagor, Michael Pittman. I think teams will be willing to wait on the wide receivers for day 2 and will put more of a premium on the cornerbacks in day 1, given what RJ mentioned about the need as well. So I think that is that's a hammer spot right there. That might be the best bet of the whole thing. Speaking of secondary guys, who I think could go in the first round. This doesn't count as a cornerback, but it does count as a defensive back. I'm going to take the under on Antoine Winfield at 34.5. It means he has to go early in the second round, so it's a little bit dicey. But I think, again, needs sort of match up with these teams who need help in the secondary. And Winfield, to me, is being slept on by mock drafters around the world. I put him in the first round of my final mock draft on Tuesday. He's a freaking ball hawk. His dad played in the NFL forever. He's got the pedigree. He played at a high level in a good conference. I think this guy goes in the first round at the end of the day.
That's it, yeah. If it's at 34.5 right now, I'm seeing 42.5.
I meant 42 then. What did I say?
Yeah, I think Delpit's at 34.5 above him. But that's pretty high for Winfield, even at 42.5.
I was like, I don't really like 34.5. I was like, yeah, 42.5. There you go. I love 42.5. That's a slam dunk. He's definitely going to the first 40 picks.
Yeah, he's going to go 38th, and I just cast your pick when you thought you weren't going to get it. But there hasn't really been that much buzz on him, you know, as far as the safety class goes. You know, you've seen guys like Jeremy Chinn pick up buzz. Ashton Davis, a lot of people like. I like Ashton Davis as a sleeper, first safety off the board, play at 33-1. I mean, I don't see why he couldn't be, because if nobody's going to go in the first round, and it seems
he's a stud, too.
It seems like Xavier McKinney drops out of the first round of some mocks. I think it's kind of open season on who's going to be the first safety drafted out of Winfield, Davis, McKinney, Delpit, and even Chinn. So if you can get a long shot bet on any of those guys, I figure why not? It's a good lottery ticket.
Okay. All right. Kenny, your next pick.
Yeah, that was going to be my next spot to talk about is the first safety drafted. Mm. And the guy I have rated the number one safety, Jeremy Chinn from Southern Illinois.
Here you go.
That guy's got unbelievable size, 6'3", 220. He ran a 4.4, a vertical leap of 42, 3-year starter at Southern Illinois. He is a playmaker. Excuse me. I thought this guy for sure. And looking at Xavier McKinney at 24.5, Delpit at 34.5, and Winfield at 42.5, you're right. I think this could be a guy that goes late first round. Jeremy Chinn could be the first safety drafted. I'm going to have to look up Ashton Davis. I know I've got him rated very high, but I didn't think I had him I had him number 3 or number 4, because I know my numbers go Chinn, McKinney, and then Delpit, but I think I have Winfield or Davis right there. But well, Chinn's my guy.
Well, Chinn too was like, I think like a couple of weeks ago was like 24-1 and started picking up a little steam. I know like Daniel Jeremiah tweeted about him, noted he could be the first safety off the board. And we're like, look, I mean, yeah, the bottom line is DJ's a well-respected draft guy, when he tweets Jeremy Chinn could be the first safety off the board, that's getting pounded. And as a result, it comes down to 7-1. So I still like the bet at 7-1, for sure. But I agree, like Ashton Davis, maybe obviously more of a long shot, but gives you a little bit more value. Either one.
And then you take, you know, you look at the whole board on that. You got Xavier McKinney minus 300. That's obviously still the favorite. That's the one people have talked about the most. Grant Delpit is plus 350. His stock has fallen as these other names have crept up. Then you go to the Chinn at plus 700. Antoine Winfield at 13. That's Brinson's guy. And then Ashton Davis, my guy, 33. I mean, sprinkle some on all three of those. The Chinn, Winfield, Davis selection. And you could hit one easily if somebody's not sold on McKinney. Some people are going to have Chinn as number one on their board. But what really comes down to is what the teams have. And if nobody really wants to draft McKinney in the first first round. They're looking at him in day two. If some team really loves Jeremy Chin, they could take him at 27, 28, 29. You just don't know.
I don't think it's crazy that like the Cowboys are not they're not beholden to whatever mock draft people think. Everybody's like, well, the Cowboys will just take McKinney. Like they go off radar all the time and take like remember they took a guard and they took Zach Martin, they took Travis Frederick. Like they don't value defensive backs like that quite as much, it doesn't seem, but like they could easily just take Jeremy Chin where they are without trading down.
Yeah, you could. There's been a lot of commentary that we're going to be surprised at how the actual draft is, because mock draft season, everybody kind of coalesces around, a group of talent who's available where. And with this situation that we're in now, where these coaches haven't really got to talk to each other, I mean, these boards are going to look way different if you just go team by team and you're able to like sneak into their war room and see what the draft board looks like. They're going to be way different this year. So we could see Chin being a top 20 pick. I wouldn't rule that out at all.
Yeah. And so I think in that regard too, like as a general approach to betting on these props, don't be afraid to, like you mentioned, sprinkle on some of these longer shot guys who actually could creep in. As RJ notes, like, I mean, if you're playing a $100 unit, put $15 on Chin at 7-1, $15 on, Winfield at 13-1, and $15 on Ashton Davis at 33-1. And if you hit one of them, you get a nice little payday. Is that right, Math? Fair enough. Close.
Yeah, and safety is a good position to do that at too. Because like I said, we just don't know how the top of the board is going to look, and I don't think anybody does, because none of these guys are locks to be a top 25 pick.
All right, RJ, you're up.
Yeah, so in correlation to the cornerback thing, saying that there's going to be a lot of cornerbacks in the back half of the first round, I'm going total round one receivers under 5.5. It's at plus 160. Now, this is going to be a little bit, contrary to what some people think. I think if you were going to rank the prospects available, I would put more than, at least six guys, more than 5.5 guys as a top 32 prospect in this draft. It's just the depth is so good and there's other needs to tackle that I think these guys are going to slip to day two and you wouldn't expect it. So, other people are thinking, yeah, I'm going to hit the over on this, and that's why it's so much juice to the over, because they see these receivers as top 32 picks. But, I think these guys are going corner. They're going with the linebackers, which I think kind of is drop off after the first three or four. And then they're going to go circle back to get a receiver on day two, whether that's Rager or Mims or Chenault or Michael Pittman, or even if you get past that, guys like Van Jefferson and John Hightower. Just like there's so many guys that can contribute on round three, four, or five in this draft. There's no reason to push guys up your board and take them in round one. So I think under 5.5, you can get a plus 160. It's even dropped a little bit, I think, since when I saw it earlier in the offseason a few weeks ago. And it just seems like a good scenario where the draft's going to play out and we're only going to see four or five guys go.
Mm. Kenny.
Yeah, I agree. That's one of the plays I've talked about for weeks because of the fact how deep the draft is with wide receivers. And I always say wide receivers are a dime a dozen. I think there's three guys, maybe four. You could move Jefferson into that round that you got to get. And then after that, there's 20 guys that are so close in talent that it doesn't really matter which one you get. You're going to get a good wide receiver. So I'm on board with that. I have five in my mock draft. I got Higgins and Mims and Rager going early second round. But, yeah, I love that one a lot. There's only 32 picks in the first round. You got to get some quarterbacks. You got to get some defensive guys. There's going to be half of them defensive players. So there's only so many slots you can pick a wide receiver.
Yeah, and the other thing you got to think about is, so the trades happen. Teams trade into the first round and get that extra fifth-year option. They look to target certain guys at positions they don't think is going to be available at their pick. If you're a team trading up, you're not doing it for a receiver, because wherever you're picking on day two, you're going to be able to get a receiver. So whereas other teams could trade up to get a Jeremy Chin or to get a Ross Blacklock at defensive tackle if they like that kind of guy, or to get Cesar Ruiz if he's not off the board in the top 25, I don't think you're trading up for a receiver. You just sit where you are and take any of the guys you mentioned, Brandon Ayuk, and any of these guys, on day two. So
hey, the last 10 years, the NFL, when it turned to a passing league almost 20 years ago now, there was a run on wide receivers in the draft. But then they realized we could get these guys in the second, third, and fourth round. So the last 10 years, only one time has there been more than 5.5 receivers drafted in the first round. Just once in the last 10 years. So I just don't think it's happening again under 5.5.
And the NFL is a copycat league. We just saw a rookie class where the dominant receivers were A.J. Brown, a second-round pick, DK Metcalf, a second round pick, and Terry McLaurin, who I believe was third round, might have been fourth. So teams are going to see that and see if we can get impact guys. They're going to come out and be an impact player right away, especially in a class where we expect there to be a lot of those type of guys. Why are we going to push them up and take them in the 21 to 32 range? So I'm bored with that too.
Again, there's also, like I was saying earlier, I mean, it's a draft. It's looking at like a fantasy football draft. If you want one cornerback and one wide receiver, well, you're going to have to, you look at the board and you say, okay, I know I'm going to get one of these guys. Like if I get the top wide receiver, then I'm going to have to settle for a cornerback who's in the 15 to 20 range, or I can get one of the top cornerbacks and I can settle with one of the wide receivers in the 15 to 20 range. I mean, the cornerbacks, good luck evaluating those guys quite as well, but I'll tell you, I mean, like, I am not a turbo draft Nick, but Van Jefferson, KJ Hill, and James Prochet, those guys are in the 15 to 20 range, and those guys can be impact wide receivers at the NFL level starting in year one.
Yeah, you can just keep going down the list. Chase Claypool turned to heads. Yeah. People thought he'd be a tight end, but he the way he ran, I mean, he's going to stick at receiver, it looks like. And then, yeah, just go name after name. There's some Texas guys that you might like, Devin Duvernay. I like Antonio Gandy-Golden out of Liberty. He's a big target. He's kind of like, if you don't get T. Higgins or Michael Pittman in round two, you go get him in round four or late round three, early round four. He's going to give you the same type of thing.
Yeah.
So just identify those guys all the way down the board.
And there's been a lot of talk about Brandon Ayuk going in the first round, and I think he might ultimately do that. But like, if you look at the group of secondary guys who we're talking about, where you would need to get that sixth guy in there, Ayuk just had core muscle surgery. Laviska Shenault, who's a stud but is probably not going to come in to be an elite, you know, route runner or anything right out of the gate, he just had core muscle surgery. T. Higgins is a high point guy, but I mean, like, he doesn't burn it. Denzel Mims is a scorcher, but he's got questionable hands. And then Michael Pittman, another bigger type of guy. Like, I think T. Higgins, Michael Pittman are day two guys. So I think I'm on board with that, even though maybe in my mock draft I had 12 wide receivers going, in the first round. I have here listed two, a second quarterback taken. I was trying to find those odds. I don't know if they're definitely on there, but, I saw it on an offshore where that had dropped to like, it's like basically even money right now. And I like that idea a lot too. If you can find two, a second quarterback taken. Kenny, back to you.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad that RJ mentioned Chase Claypool. He's one of my favorites. And if you can get him early second round, 6'4", runs a 4.4 with a 41 inch vertical. Those are amazing numbers. My next pick is going to be similar to the wide receivers that I always say running backs are a dime a dozen. There's 64 running backs in the NFL right now in the depth chart, first string and second string. Out of those 64 guys, 12 were first-round draft picks. 12 are free agents that were never drafted. There's as many free agents in the two-deep depth charts in the NFL as their first. Why would you draft a running back in the first round? They have a small, short shelf life. And you can find a free agent that's as good as a first rounder. There's no other position on the field where there's as many free agents as there are first rounders at any position other than running back. So I'm going to go no running back, first round, plus 190.
Yeah, I'm completely on board with this. I think it might have dropped. I was touting it as when it opened at plus 220, and it was 190 all the way leading up to draft week. Now I think it might be plus 140. It seems like people have started to buy into the fact that there's not going to be a running back drafted. Now, the thing you have to look at is the class. If there is a standout running back, then you could see some of these teams that don't have success, that are always picking in the top 20, wanting to push him up the board. When you look at this class, I don't think that guy exists. It seems like DeAndre Swift is everybody's favorite, but I'm not sure he's the first running back taken. Jonathan Taylor blew up the combine. He doesn't seem like a first round pick. So these guys, I don't think they're going to be first round picks. I think the teams that are picking in the range where these guys would otherwise go are the teams that know what those stats that Kenny was just saying. You don't need a good running back to have success. You can be the Chiefs and get by with Damian Williams, or the Patriots and get by with, you know, the running backs they had for a long time before they, for some reason, spent a first round pick on a running back. So even the Patriots do something dumb every once in a while.
Yeah. Both Super Bowl teams this year had a running back that was a free agent. Star running back.
It seems like that happens basically every year. So a related pick, this wasn't going to be one of my picks. Actually, it might be now because my fifth pick was going to be that exact same under on the total running backs. Not going to have one drafted. I was looking at J.K. Dobbins as the first running back drafted at 8-1. I mean, there was no buzz with him whatsoever because he didn't run at the combine. So since the season ended, nobody's really been talking about him. Swift is at -200. Jonathan Taylor's next at +200. But then you get to Dobbins, who is the running back one on some people's boards, and just because he hasn't gotten any buzz, I don't think that means we should discount him completely and take him out of that group of top three. And then it's just like the safety position. Once you have we're waiting until the second round for the first guy to come off the board, it could really be anyone. Somebody's going to have Dobbins as their running back one off the board, and if that person just happens to be picking before another running back comes off, then Dobbins is going to be the first pick. I mean, are you going to rule out that Houston's going to draft a running back at 40 the way that they value that position? I'm not. It could be Dobbins, it could be Taylor, it could be Swift. I think it's kind of a lottery, you know, pick a name out of a hat for which one it's going to be. And if you're getting Dobbins at 8-1, I like that value.
I think there's a good chance the Chargers take another running back at the 37th overall pick there. Dolphins at 39 would make a lot of sense. And yeah, Dobbins could be the guy. I don't hate that. I wish Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a little bit better value, than 5-1, because I think he could steal the top spot there. But you're right. And I'm with you. Under one running back is a slam dunk here. The teams aren't going to do it. There are just too many other positions and good players there. And again, Andy Reid's never drafted a running back earlier than 58, which is when he took LeSean McCoy. He's gotten by. He knows you can get by on cheap running backs. Kyle Shanahan the entire premise of his offense is predicated on not paying for running backs. Like, that's why they stole Champ Bailey, back in the day. Well, his dad did it, but back in the day, you know, the Champ Bailey Clinton Portis trade. So that's not going to happen there. And those teams at the bottom just have running backs in place. This is our final one, but we can throw out some more if you have them. I'm going to say Javon Kinlaw over 13.5 draft spot. There's a clip of Brian Brodius, who used to work for the Cowboys, saying that Kinlaw, who I like Kinlaw a lot, but apparently teams are starting to get really worried about his injury history, both with an ankle and a hip. Brodius was on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas and pointed that out. So I think there's a little bit of value there because people are expecting Kinlaw not to slip, but I think he could be the guy who injuries cause to surprisingly drop further than people are expecting.
It's funny how these injuries that have happened a long time ago and nothing has changed over the last few months somehow get bubbled to the surface in the days leading up to the draft. It's weird how that happens, you know, that teams suddenly let slip out there that we don't know about this guy.
He doesn't work for the Cowboys now.
Well, I know, but I mean, he's got team sources with Cowboys and maybe some other teams. That it's just weird that this would come up if nothing has, you know, substantively changed with like a test that's happened. Then the fact that this is coming out from certain teams just kind of seems like, let him slip to us. We want him. So
that's fair. That's
13.5. It's interesting. We talk about the 49ers earlier at 13. They're going to be looking to trade down, it looks like. If they can't, I think Kinlaw is the one that makes the most sense just as a direct replacement for DeForest Buckner after that trade. And he would fit in there. It completely plays to their strength of building that defensive line to be the strength of their team. And it was so successful last year that I think they're going to stick with it and go with Kinlaw if he's there and if they can't trade down at 13.
Okay. This is from an NFL.com article on February 25th. So, you know, it's a ways back, but, Kinlaw, who previously had a labrum repaired in one of his hips, as well as a past back injury and two knees that multiple teams have flagged as at risk of arthritis. It's a lot.
Yeah, he could slip. I mean, it just depends. We don't know, you know, if the 49ers don't have a good medical grade on him, then he's not going to get taken by the 49ers at 13, that's for sure. So just without knowing specifically which teams have, you know, certain medical red flags in him, he could go. We saw that we talked about on Monday with Maurice Hurst, went all the way to round 5 when everybody thought he'd be a round 1 pick, maybe early day 2, and he's in round 5. So, you know,
I also think you got two quarterbacks, you have four offensive linemen, so that's 6. You got three wide receivers. That's 9. And then you also have two cornerbacks. So you're at 11 and Derek Brown, defensive tackle, Isaiah Simmons. All of a sudden that's 13. So like,
if you assume they all go, I mean, the Becton, of course. You know, flag drug test.
I'm just saying,
make him go a little bit under people expect. He could go 14, 15, 16, maybe a little later.
Don't forget about Jeremy Chin.
One of those receivers might not go top, you know, 13. You know, we could see Ruggs go 15, 16, 17. Somebody trades up for him. So, you know, all those are good players. I think there is a cutoff. I think probably 16, 17, like lock round one guys. You know, a lot of the guys you were mentioning, plus maybe Kalyvon Chaisson, I think I'd throw in there. And then Justin Jefferson. I think at that point, it's kind of a free for all, you know, from 18 to 32.
All right. Well, while we're on this, this is actually one of the ones that, my man C-Rex at Rixie182 sent me a list. He's over in England and they have a minimal number of bets they can make. But he's a podcast listener and he wanted us to check these out. Kinlaw was one of them. So that's our analysis there on Kinlaw. You have a thought of Kinlaw, by the way, Kenny?
Yeah, no, I was over. I had him in number 18 in the draft. And I see the CBS mock draft version 5 also had him at number 18. So complete agreement.
Yeah, that was me too, I think. Oh, no, the CBS online box draft. Yeah.
BMAC. That was BMAC's pick.
You're right. I had him dropping a little bit in my mind that came out on Tuesday. Jedrick Wills over under 8.5.
I like the under there. I think that he's the best fit for me to the Giants. I think if you look at the first offensive lineman prop drafted on William Hill, Wills is the favorite right now. And if we think that the Giants are going offensive lineman, that means he's going 4, or unless there's a trade down. I think the Chargers are also a sleeper offensive lineman pick if they yep. don't go quarterback. I think left tackle is going to be the thing that helps them out the most this year. So I could see Wills being off the board at 4 or 6. And if not, then maybe even 8.
Yeah, and Wills played both tackle spots, I believe, in college. So the Cardinals could take him at 8 and plug him on the other side with DJ Humphries if they want to try and protect Kyler Murray. Jeff Okuda, Kenny, over under 4.5.
Jeff Okuda, under over 4.5?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you got to go under. It's been the talk the entire time. The Detroit Lions must win now, and they need a defensive player, and they feel like Okuda's the second best defensive player in the draft behind Chase Young. So if they don't make a trade, Okuda's going number 3.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yep. Jerry Jeudy over under 12.5.
I would say under at this point. I know that you like mocking him to the Jets. It's possible he's the first receiver taken. There's been some buzz that the Broncos are trying to trade up to get him. If they're the Broncos, why are you going to sit and just take the third guy on your board if that's Ruggs at 15 when you have all these extra picks? I mean, they did a lot of work in free agency to improve their team. They don't have a ton of needs. And now they have their first, their second, and 3 third round picks plus wow. extra pick, you know, also picks on day 3. Use some of that capital to get up to 10, get up to 11 or 9, wherever you need to get Jeudy if he's your guy. So I could see Jeudy being, you know, hitting under there in a trade. Not even in a, is he going to go to the Jets? He's going to go to the Raiders. You know, it could be a trade that makes that happen.
Yeah. And look, you could have CeeDee Lamb, you know, like the Eagles have been rumored to trade up to get CeeDee Lamb. They go up and get CeeDee Lamb, or like, I mean, somebody surprises and takes Lamb or Ruggs early. And then all of a sudden Jeudy's going to go to his floor is probably the Raiders unless it's him and CJ Henderson there.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's recap. What are your picks that you had, Kenny?
I like, Jacob Eason over 53.5 in his round prop. Jake Fromm over 68.5. I'm also another quarterback, Herbert, over 5.5. Now, let me give you this, guys. Last 2 years in the top 10, they're pretty predictable, but after the top 10, 65% of the over under numbers went over.
Wow.
65%. Yeah, because somebody's going to get drafted that we didn't know about, and it just pushes everyone else down. And they create these numbers because people all want to bet
the under. Because
they want to bet the guy's going to get drafted before the number. So I like that one. I like Jeremy Chinn plus $7 for safety drafted. No running backs first round. And RJ's right. That price is down to $1.40. It's just crashing. So you better get it now or you'll lose value. And even money, I think there's no value to it, but plus 40, there's still value. And my last one I'll give you, or Tristan Wirfs, I gave you first lineman plus $1.50.
All right, RJ.
Yeah, CJ Henderson under 12.5 is at plus 100 now. Hopefully you were reading Sportsline and you got it when it was plus 150, or you even got it when it was 17.5, because there's no way that he was going to go past the Cowboys at that point. Team to draft to Miami at plus 125. I'm buying into it being smokescreen, and he's going to end up there, and we're getting great value on a prop that was heavily favored to Miami earlier in this process. Total round one cornerbacks over 4.5. You got to pay minus $1.38 to get that, but I think that's a pretty good lock based on the talent at the position plus the needs of the teams drafting in the back half of the first round. Total round one receivers under 5.5 at plus 160. That correlates to the cornerback pick. If their cornerbacks are getting off the board, the receivers probably aren't, and teams are going to take advantage of that depth, especially the smart teams that are picking at the end of the first round. So plus 160, just a great value there. I'm on board with Kenny's total round one, our running backs under 0.5 if you can get it at plus 140, like he was saying. And even I would jump off of that. And then a first running back drafted, J.K. Dobbins plus 800 is the value pick that's tied into that prop.
All right. And I've got, I agree with C.J. Henderson, under 12.5. I think it's still a great bet. That's one you should hammer if you're listening to this. Check your book and see if it's out there. I like Andrew Thomas as the first offensive lineman, taking a 5-1. You're just splashing a little bit on that because, you know, it's a medium shot there. Antoine Winfield, under 42.5. I think he will go much earlier than mocks are projecting. I also like his first safety, 13-1. We mentioned Ashton Davis, 33-1, and Jeremy Chinn, 7-1. Combine those and get that to a second quarterback taken if that's available at anything near even money. I like it. And Javon Kinlaw over 13.5. I'm also on board. I'm on board with all the Tua Miami stuff as well as the no running back in the first round. All right, fellas, this is fun. We got to bounce because Kenny's got to listen to me talk for another hour. And RJ, you can come hang out too if you want. Excellent prop work. I think we've informed the people. We've given them some locks. Let's crush these, and then we'll spend the next 3 months peacocking around talking about how we killed the draft. Or otherwise, we'll just be quiet and hand out grades. at KYD Vegas on Twitter for Kenny and at RJ White 1 on Twitter for RJ. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.